The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
They're crazy awesome! They are yummy, they are crunchy, they are warm because they toast them. They got a pepper bar.
That's my favorite part!
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. I'm Allison Haislip.
And I'm Alex Albrecht. This week, like every week, we are going to sip some booze and spit some news.
I like it. I'm for it. I embrace it. Go for it.
So we're super lucky. We mentioned it at the end of last episode.
We did.
But we have a special guest. We have a special guest this week. Tom Super Volcano Krajewski, thanks for coming over, man.
Thanks. I just blew my nose into my wine when you said that, man.
It'll add protein. It's good.
Nice and cloudy.
So just for complete clarity to our listeners, we're recording this episode immediately following our last week episode.
Hence why the callbacks are so fresh.
I know, they are. Because I'm out of town. So I'm currently out of town while you're listening to this. So we don't, the emails might feel a little old. The stories might be like, we knew that last week. Mm-hmm. We're sorry, we apologize. But what you get is us just even more drunk.
Yes.
On this episode.
Yeah. Even more drunk.
Even more drunk.
High on cocaine.
Nope.
But even more drunk.
Not at all. I've never done cocaine, have you?
No.
Tom?
Nope.
No. It scares me.
Never.
It scares me.
No, it does. Heather is the same way. She was like, I don't ever want to do cocaine because I know I will like it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, I'll like it too much and then I'll start doing it all the time and then I'm fucked. Yeah, no.
My dad. So my dad got had back surgery.
Oh. And did cocaine?
They gave him so much cocaine.
No. He, you know, when you do like have a surgery, and it was laparoscopic. Is that what it is? Where they use the little cameras?
Yeah, sure.
So it wasn't like back surgery. Like they cut his back
open
and fucking put in.
They flayed
bars
him like a fish.
No, they just sort of cleaned out a little something, something. But when he was recovering in the hospital, they gave him the little button for the morphine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The morphine. Yeah.
He never pressed it.
What?
Oh.
Never pressed it.
You know, I don't know if I would either. I actually don't.
No, he literally, that's why he didn't, because he was like, I know so many people that I've heard anecdotally, and just you hear about it all the time, is people have a surgery.
Yeah.
They get prescribed, you know, oxycodone or whatever the, like, opioid for pain, and then they're hooked on the opioid.
Right. Yeah.
And so he was like, fuck that button. And the funny thing is, he was like never pressing the button.
Right.
That's clear. And the nurse came in the next morning and was like, oh, so I need to add more or adjust your morphine drip. And he goes, she was like, well, how many times did you hit it? And he goes, never.
Yeah.
And then she laughed and said, well, I'm sure in the middle of the night you probably did without realizing it. And she looked at the thing and she goes, holy shit.
You got some balls,
you
man.
You actually never hit the morphine thing. And he was like, no. It was hard for like him because they sent him home with pain pills.
Right.
And he was like, I'm not taking any of them.
Yeah.
And he started taking Advil and stuff like that, which
is
okay.
I thankfully have never had, I've never had a major surgery, knock on wood. And I've never hurt myself to the point where I needed anything more than a Tylenol or, I mean, four Tylenol or something like that.
Yeah, I think at one point in my life I had like codeine cough syrup.
Right.
With like cough syrup with a little codeine,
honestly,
but that's
just more to sleep, not because of pain. But to me, it's like, I just don't like the way painkillers make me feel. I feel like really out of touch and unaware.
Hmm.
So I would rather sit there and kind of ache.
Yeah.
Then feel numb.
Interesting.
But again, that being said, I thankfully I haven't been in an experience where I think the pain would be so bad I can't manage it.
So I had a friend. So I had this conversation actually when I was in Puerto Rico, weirdly.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of my friends actually had said, like, look, I went in and had a surgery and they put me on the morphine stuff, and then they basically sent him home without weaning him off.
You
need to wean yourself off. And they usually do that in the hospital for you.
Right.
Is they wean you off. But they sent him home without doing that. And he was like, oh, I'm addicted to, like, I need to get this. And the funny thing is he said, the thing with morphine is that it doesn't dull the pain. Okay. It just causes you to not give a shit about it.
Oh, really?
And then when you're past it, you don't remember that it was painful.
Wow.
Oh, that's weird.
Interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Because that's such a weird, specific way to do it. Because if you think about it, like, so I broke my collarbone twice.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
Have we talked about this?
I don't know.
Twice?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I'll show you after the thing. You can actually feel, like, one of my collarbones is, like, fucking broken.
I don't want to feel that, Alex.
Okay, but
I don't
if you
feel
do,
that.
No. Trust the show.
It's a life-changing
I'm good.
Experience.
It is.
It's amazing. It's very, specific. Anyway, so I broke it snowboarding.
Oh.
So when I was
twice snowboarding. Yeah. So I broke it the first time, like, broke it. And it was gnarly. Oh. I was doing a tail slide on the, like, you know the foam things that on the ski poles that or the ski lift
Yeah,
poles,
so you don't die
so you
if
don't
you
die.
Accidentally
yeah.
ski
Well,
into
I
them.
Found this jump, and it kicks you in the, it kicked you in this way that your tail hit the top of it, and then you would land.
Oh.
So I was like, that's awesome. So the next round, I was like, I'm going to now really try to do a tail slide.
Right.
Well, I came around, and it was an old, like, 1984 Burton snowboard, so it, like, didn't flex.
Oh,
it was super
ones.
Old.
Oh.
Yeah. But it came around, my nose came around, stuck into the ground, and I fell forward, and the other side, the upper side
of
the snowboard hit me dead in the center of my collarbone and just snapped it in half, like, inwards.
Oh, my gosh.
And I remember I landed, rolled, and I just sat up, and the worst thing was that I was like, oh, my shoulder hurts. So I rotated my whole shoulder like this. And I was like, nah, something's fucked up in there.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And my buddy snowboarded up and was like, dude, are you okay? And I was like, I think I need to get like a ski patrol guy. I think something's wrong with my
shoulder. Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah, okay. So we got a ski patrol guy. And I was like,
oh,
yeah,
ski patrol guy.
I was like, something's fucked up in my shoulder. And he was like, oh, yeah, you broke your collarbone. And I was like,
oh, my gosh.
What?
Thanks for,
yeah, thanks
so
for the heads
late.
Up.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing is that my buddy, I thought I hit my snowboard, rolled, sat up, and then was like, oh my God, I broke my collarbone.
Yeah.
But what actually happened was I hit the ground, rolled, slid to a stop, was unconscious on the ground.
Oh my God.
And then sat up and
really?
Moved my arm. Yeah. But it hurt like a fucking fuck ton.
Yeah.
I mean, when you break a bone, it's not good.
No.
And so the other thing that's sort of interesting is that I was had my first concert. I was in a rock band in high school, and our first show was the next weekend.
I feel like that's when you know you're old, is when you're like, I was in a rock band.
Well, I was in a number of rock bands.
But not like I was in a band.
Oh, yeah, I was in a rock band. A
rock band.
But the crazy thing was, I was sitting there, and the guy, I was like, oh, no, I have a, like, our first show
right.
is in a week, in next weekend. And he goes, well, don't tell me you play guitar. And I go, no, I play the drums. And he was like, ooh. So I literally played the show.
Wait, in a sling?
In a sling. Because all I had to do was, it was my my right arm, and it was just the hi-hat mainly.
That's
so I had it
amazing.
In a sling, and I was just not I was just moving my elbow to do the thing. And I was like, it was great.
That's hilarious.
A lot of girls were like, oh my God, look at that drummer. He broke his collarbone. He's still playing. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
I did not get laid.
Did
But so here's the other thing.
You don't know that.
As I started to heal,
right.
I sort of forgot how painful it was. I mean, I was like, I don't want to do it again, but I wasn't like, it was really painful. It was
it's like women in childbirth.
Yeah, I was like, I guess that hurt, but I mean, I wouldn't say
I
that
can,
it was
I
like,
survived. I can do it again.
Yeah. So I went snowboarding again.
Yeah.
After my mom said, fuck that shit, and my doctor, and my mom was so pissed at this doctor, because the doctor was like, his bone is fine. His bone is perfectly fine. He can go snowboarding again.
Right.
And my mom was like staring daggers at him because she was like,
Tell him he can't snowboard.
Yeah. You're a fucking doctor. I am his mom. I can't tell him to not snowboard because he's going to think I'm the worst person in the world. And it was my friend's birthday, you know, whatever. So I go, and sure enough, snowboarding, and it was the lamest thing. I just sort of flopped forward into a pile of snow and put my hand down, and I was like, I heard the same snap in my ear. I was like, as soon as it happened, I felt the searing pain, and I was like, I broke my collarbone.
In the same place.
It broke right through the new bone that had formed. I was so annoyed. But then it was one of those things where I was like, God damn, this is so much more painful than I remember it. I was like, fuck, this hurts.
So your mom is right.
How old were you?
And I called. I was probably like 16, maybe 17,
Man.
16. And I remember calling my dad. I mean, I'll never forget it. It was one of those great moments. Calling my dad from the Gettysburg Hospital in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And I go, hello, Dad. And he goes, just don't tell me you're calling from Gettysburg Hospital. And I go, I'm calling from Gettysburg Hospital. I broke my collarbone again. He was like, God damn. I was like, of course, this is what he, just don't tell me you're calling from Gettysburg Hospital.
Now that I met your dad, that sounded like your dad.
Yeah, totally.
God damn.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't meet Alex's parents until
HopCon.
Until HopCon.
That's right.
Great people.
Yeah, fun, right? Aren't Alex's parents the, like, perfect mashup of Alex?
They are.
Like, you literally, like, you look at his parents and you're like, yes, you would produce Alex.
Yeah.
You got your mom's breasts, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate
it. Really weird, Tom. That was just like
Tom's always
extremely weird
on so many levels.
It's a compliment.
Have I told the story about how my aunt and uncle got together?
No.
Okay, so this is my aunt, who's the rocket scientist.
Oh yeah,
who works at JPL.
That has a Tesla or wants a Tesla.
They have a
Tesla.
Has a Tesla.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We have to record a podcast from their Tesla. Mm. We'll make that happen.
That would be awesome.
Is it called the USS Enterprise?
Oh, I haven't asked them if they named it.
It says Tesla Prize.
Tesla
Prize. Although I read a really funny joke, which was as soon as if you ever steal a Tesla, does it automatically become an Edison?
Oh, I love it.
My gosh.
Oh, my God.
I love that joke. I love that joke.
Anyway.
So much. I also love that that's a smart joke.
Right?
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my I feel like I've talked about this before, but my uncle that my rocket scientist aunt is married to runs marathons. Like,
yeah.
Constantly. And he, my uncle's Chinese. He has like zero body fat on him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he never drinks water. He'll go train for marathons and then come home and drink beer. Like, ooh, it's so.
That is amazing.
He's a superhero.
Yeah,
But he also used to like mountain climb.
Oh,
he used to mountain climb. So, you know, years ago. So this is I think they met in like the early to mid 80s, I want to say, because and they actually worked together. They lived in Colorado at the time. They worked together at some sort of rocket scientist-y place.
Wicked smart camp.
And so they knew of each other. But then my now uncle went mountain climbing, and he like was climbing up this mountain, and he was on this chunk of rock, and then the entire chunk of rock broke off the mountain.
What?
And he fell about 25 feet onto like a one of those ledges below him. So he fell, and then the chunk of mountain fell on top of him.
What?
Yeah.
I love that this is how they met.
No, well, hold on. I'm not even to the point. She wasn't mountain climbing. She wasn't there. So the thing falls. He gets up. His buddy who he's mountain climbing with looks down, and he's like, no, I'm good. So he starts climbing back up the mountain.
Just a small bit of mountain hit me.
They climb for like another hour or so, get to some ledge. My uncle's like, I have to pee. And mountain climbers apparently just pee off the side of mountains. So that's a thing that you do.
By the way,
that's where rain comes from.
And that's another reason never walk under a mountain.
Yes, exactly.
If you ever needed another reason not to walk under a mountain, that is one of them.
He goes to pee off the side of the mountain. He's like.
And his penis floods off.
No. That would be really sad.
That would be horrible.
I have a cousin, so his penis did not fall off.
So he pees.
He pees off the side of the mountain, and he's like, oh, I'm peeing blood. That can't be good.
Ooh.
So then he's like, I think maybe I have internal damage. And so they have to helivac him out of there. Like a helicopter comes and gets him out of there. Turns out he fucked up everything inside. Everything inside had been crushed. Weirdly enough, like exoskeleton and muscles were all fine because he was such a fit human being.
Yeah.
But organs got crushed. He had to have like crazy surgery where he has this scar on his stomach that looks like he got bit by a shark.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's big scars, man.
It's a scar that it was obvious like this is emergency surgery.
Yeah,
not
just get in there.
Yeah, we can make it pretty.
Yeah,
surgery.
There's no fine tooth comb.
So he has this like crazy fucking surgery for all the shit inside of him. He's out of work for God knows how long recovering from this. He comes back from work and my aunt passes him in the hallway and she's like, oh, Frank, so glad you're back. Like, you know, I'm so glad you're okay. She's like, how are you feeling about everything? And he's like, oh, I'm good. And he starts talking and he starts tearing up and like starts getting teary eyed about the whole thing. And my aunt will tell the story being like, that was the moment where I kind of fell for him. I was like, oh, this guy is like really empathetic and like, you know, telling this traumatic story that
totally
happened to him.
Totally played her.
No. But
they broke his tear duct while they were doing the surgery.
Right, no. So, but that's the moment my aunt was like open to him being a possibility.
Yeah, totally.
When my Uncle Frank tells the story, he's like, I was walking down the hallway and literally a gnat flew into my eye.
Amazing.
Right when my Aunt Lorraine came up to say hi.
Sorry, I totally ruined that.
He was like trying to talk to her while at the same time this gnat was like in the corner of his eye. And that's why his eyes were watering.
That is
amazing.
I know.
Oh my God.
That is the best.
Yeah.
Oh, right? My God.
So when he told her the story about being up in the mountain, did he talk about pissing off?
Yes. No, yeah. Blood? It was like, I peed blood. Well, and he was like, that's no good.
She's like,
no.
Sold. Yeah. Sold. With me now.
This man is blood. So hardcore.
This is my aunt, too. Like, they're very active. They, you know, they...
They must be.
My aunt doesn't run marathons, but she, like, you know, she still rollerblades, because that's the thing that happens, and, like, mm-hmm. bike rides. And they both ski. They're both super healthy. Yeah, yeah. But my aunt, I mean, this has got to be almost 20 years ago. She was rollerblading and turned a corner, because they live on the beach, so she's like rollerblading on those paths, and she went around a corner and her rollerblade hit some sand and it skidded out, and she fell and she shattered her left wrist, like shattered it, not just broke it, shattered. And she was like, it was so crazy, the pain went through my body and the first thing I thought was, oh wow, I want to have a kid.
What?
Because it was so, the pain was, I know,
yeah, I had the
but this
reaction.
Is why, the pain was so intense, she thought for a moment, like, her life was over. It was like her life flashed before her eyes, and she was like, it was the moment she went, oh shit, I want to have a kid. She'd been so indifferent about it prior to that moment, and then she shatters her wrist, and the first thought in her head was, I want to have a kid, and then she gets her wrist fixed, and a couple years later, my cousin's born.
I hope that your cousin knows
how much
that is where he came from.
Right.
The shattered wrist.
I know.
You should just call him the shattered wrist.
The shattered wrist.
Yeah. That sounds like such a great, like, Daredevil shattered enemy. Wrist,
yes.
Like, what are you? What how, the fuck is it?
Right.
It's the shattered wrist is after us.
Yeah.
They're trying to resurrect the
evil
ping pong
corporation. Yeah.
The evil corporation.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. Do we have any emails?
Yeah. We do have emails.
Might be a little old emails, but let's get into it.
They're good, though.
They're good.
Oldies, but goodies. I love this one. Okay. I love when things happen that are good. Okay.
All right.
This is from Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Aaron.
Dear Allison, Alex, and STV, SVT.
STD.
Good old STD.
STD.
That's me.
I recently retired from teaching high school science in order to run our family farm.
Oh, cool.
Neat.
When asked what I missed most, my answer is what you would hear from most high school students.
Okay.
I miss lunch with my friends.
Oh.
We were the naughty group of teachers that had to eat in the copy room because our sense of humor was too much for the teacher's lounge.
Yes. That's amazing.
Without a doubt, the times that I had laughed the hardest were in that room with those people.
That's cool.
Huh.
One of our favorite recent pastimes was to watch videos that our students would post on YouTube.
Oh awesome. Wow. I never thought about that as being a teacher. Yeah.
When we stumbled upon a stash of audition videos for competitive tickling.
No.
Oh my God.
Audition videos?
We hit comedy jackpot. Ready?
Okay.
They took place in seedy hotels and included fake names, testimonials about their tickling stamina, and horribly staged tickle fights.
Oh my God.
The videos made us laugh so hard and boost our morale. At least we didn't have to tickle each other to make ends meet.
Yeah. Wow.
When I heard your story about the documentary on the seedy underworld of competitive...
Which I still haven't seen, and I'm very upset about that.
Competitive endurance tickling, I immediately watched the trailer. In that short span, I saw at least two former students who had made it to the big time.
What?
Oh my God.
My friends and I have filled our flasks and are soon setting out on a field trip to see the documentary.
Oh my God, I'm so excited about this.
Can't wait to have the group together again.
Please email us back and let us know what you think.
How awesome is that? She taught some of the people.
That's
and
amazing.
Found the audition tapes.
Yeah.
And then saw the documentary.
Yeah.
Wow. She said, I love my new job, but I'm the only employee, so lunches and Secret Santas can get pretty lonely.
Oh.
Thank you guys for becoming part of my new lunch bunch.
Oh, thank you.
Where again, I listen to some crazy news and laugh out loud every time I listen. Keep up the good work, Aaron.
Does it say what part of town, what part of the country she's in?
Grand Haven, Michigan.
Oh, nice. All right.
Wind Dancer Farms.
I pronounce it Erin. You guys say Aaron.
Erin.
I say Erin because that's my sister's name. Erin. E-R-I-N.
Yeah,
you guys
Erin.
Say Erin.
No, Erin is the guy's name.
Yeah, so Erin.
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 What, Tom?
What?
What?
Say it.
I just say Erin interchangeably between E-R-I-N and A-A-R-I-N.
Erin. 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 I guess there is a slight difference, huh?
Erin and Aaron, yeah.
I just say Aaron.
Aaron Gobra.
Oh, I see what you mean. It's Aaron.
You say Aaron Gobra. You say Aaron.
Aaron.
Yeah.
It's fucking Breaking Bad all over again, guys.
My sister's Erin.
Anyway, so that's good.
This is what happens when you wear headphones and listen to yourself talk. You're like, oh, I talk fucking weird.
Yeah. We thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I talk fucking weird out of my talk face.
And my dog face.
Who's talking right now? Sounds so fucking
Not
weird.
Me.
All right, let me see. What time is it?
Oh, you got a few minutes left.
What does that mean, Erin?
You're 20 minutes in.
Oh, great. Perfect. Okay. So we'll do two quick emails, and then one of them will be a story.
Sure.
Con cream may already exist.
Oh, yes. Shit. Alex, see, I told you.
Someone tweeted us this.
Yes.
Yeah. Told
hey,
you.
Tom Krajewski Slipalbrecht.
Yeah.
Alex should have no difficulty pronouncing that.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Impressive.
Love the show. Just finished the SDCC Live 16 episode.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
If Alex's com crane takes off, it's going to have some competition. Here are recent finds on Amazon I'm just dying to share with you guys. One, D's Nuts.
Oh my gosh, really?
DZ Nuts. It looks like it's created for cyclists.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
As well as marathon runners, which is true.
Yep.
And then Gooch Guard.
My uncle probably uses it.
Gooch Guard?
Gooch?
Also.
You're guarding your gooch.
But what's a gooch?
What do you think a gooch is?
I mean, I know what they think a gooch is, but I feel like...
I mean, you could say any word and you'd be like, you know, my schmurder. And you'd be like, oh yeah. You
yeah, can. A schminger schmear.
It just has to be said that way. You know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, just use this for your schmear on your schminger.
My billy bongs.
Your billy bongs.
You know, whatever.
Oh, I got chafed billy bongs.
Yeah.
I wish I had that billy bong chafing cream. My skadu.
I'm just saying, you can make up any word and you know what
you
it is.
You can. That's actually, that's fun. I like billy bongs. Oh God, my billy bongs itch. Anyway. I was wondering if you can get any of them to sponsor the show. Amazing.
Oh my gosh. I don't
know. See about marketing to con goers. Possibilities are endless. Best of luck, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon.
Not a Brian Anderson.
Not a Brian Anderson?
Yeah, he's Brandon, not a Brian Anderson.
Oh, I thought
he's not a Brian.
I thought you were saying it was not a Brian or an Anderson because if you mashed up Brian and Anderson, you get Brandon.
Do you?
Kind of. Briander. Brianderson.
Brandon.
Right?
It's like Hodor.
Hodor.
Okay, no, don't say anything because people may have not.
Oh, gosh.
I love you all. And you're welcome, everybody, who just had a stroke, a mild stroke when we said the word Hodor. Okay, here we go. Next
email
one.
Into story.
Ready for this?
Email into story.
This is not a drill.
Oh, God.
Australian scientists have developed self-propelling liquid metals.
What?
I don't... Huh?
Yes.
Wait, who's this from?
This is from Manuel.
Hi, Manuel. Thank you.
Yeah, Manuel.
Manuel?
Maybe Manuel.
No, Manuel.
Hey, A-H-A-A-T-K. Allison Hayslip, Alex Albert, Tom Kravsky. This is Manuel. From the land down under, a longtime Dignation fan. What's up, buddy?
Ooh.
Newish fan of the show. Newish is better than not a fan.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Started listening about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I found interesting to hear several fans coming across the show and listening back to all the episodes, which I found weird. But guess what? This week, I found myself starting to listen from the beginning.
Woo!
I'm up to episode 1 through 7 now, haha, but I digress.
What? Huh?
Nice.
What?
And then he said, paren, but I digress, episode 6 reference. and by the way, I haven't heard Allison sing anymore in the last 12 months since I began listening.
Thank God.
Oh, damn. It's fuck you, Tom.
I don't
Tom.
Like singing in general.
Fuck your face, Tom.
No.
Guys,
I'll fuck my
stop
face.
Fucking each other's face.
Wait, what?
Fuck your
no,
Tom
Allison,
face.
You're a great singer. I just am not a singer.
Fuck, what should I sing?
You can sing.
What was a big
C is for cookie.
C is for
C
cookie.
C is for cookie. It's good enough for me. C is for cookie.
Ooh,
it's good enough
changed.
For me. C is for cookie. It's good enough for me. Oh, cookie starts with C.
Hey!
Yay! I think that's how it goes.
It does now.
Do you have to pay for that?
No. That was a non-denominational.
If we made money off of this, maybe we'd have to pay
for it. Yeah, exactly. We say that, and then there's a sponsor at the beginning.
We want cookies right now.
Oh, by the way, I haven't heard Allison sing. Anyway, I came across this crazy article, T-1000 style experiments here in Australia for you guys to have a look at. Cheers.
Jeez.
So
liquid metal self-propelling, huh?
Yeah. So what happened is, so there's been, obviously, liquid metal.
Right.
And one of the things that they were trying to figure out is, Well, you have this non-toxic liquid alloy called gallium.
Okay.
And they were like, this is cool and all, because they're thinking that they can use the liquid metal to make pliable circuits for electronics. So if you think about it, the stuff that makes the electronics hard is that it's got to have that backbone for the metal to sit on.
Oh, I see.
So, like, think about, you know, that's one of the reasons why your cell phone can't flex.
Can't bend, right.
Can't bend.
We'll see about that.
Crack.
Oh, gosh.
So Tom broke his cell phone. Perfect example.
Yeah, great.
That is a solid metal, not a liquid metal.
Right.
So, but the whole thing that they're having issues with is they're like, great, so we have liquid metal. What? How do we keep them together? How do we move it from one place to another? And it turns out that they figured out that if you put this liquid metal into a fluid, so you put it in water.
Okay.
And then you change the pH balance of the water.
Okay.
By changing the pH balance of the water, the liquid metal all of a sudden propels itself into a different direction.
Oh, interesting.
So you're not putting any electrical charge into it. You're not, you know, diverting it physically. You're literally just changing the pH balance of the fluid that it's in, and it automatically starts propelling away.
Okay. So it has to be in fluid to do this?
Yeah, so it has to be in fluid. But if you think about it, they've already said that they can start making pumps and circuits and gates and things like that because they can change the pH balance. So basically, all they need to do is change the pH balance of the fluid that it's in, and it will move in different directions specifically.
But then these things are being built in fluids?
Theoretically, yeah, they would be built into fluids.
Okay.
But fluids can be in tubes. Tubes right. can be flexible.
Right.
You know what I mean? So now you can start seeing, and the liquid metal can be making the circuits. So they put these this liquid metal, and then they started electrifying either end, and it was creating its own circuits. It started moving around, finding the electricity, connecting
the electricity.
The electricity.
The electric city.
And it was making this electric city. But so it started making its own circuits. So the whole thing is they're thinking that based on this science, they'll be able to start creating liquid metals that seek out their own circuitry.
Oh.
So that way you'll be able to bend the metal and it won't disrupt the circuit because the liquid metal will find the way to keep the circuit going.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy?
This sounds intense.
Super intense.
This sounds like the beginning of Terminator.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, this is totally what it is.
Yeah.
The real question for me is if they can find a liquid alloy that when a charge is... So you know how there's those like opaque windows for bathrooms?
Right.
And then you send a charge through it and they go clear?
Yeah.
Or they're clear and then you send a charge through it and it goes opaque?
Right.
If they can find an alloy that's liquid... But that when you put a charge through it, certain areas become rigid.
Yeah.
That's the T-1000.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, it's a cube. It's solid. It's a bridge. Well, that's a horrible thing
a
to be because then you just, now it's not a bridge.
It's a blade.
And then you hit the thing and it goes into liquid.
Yeah.
Ooh, that would be interesting. Yeah. What happens with the murder weapon if it's...
Oh, if it morphs into something
else. That was the thing with the T-2000, right?
T-1000.
I think. Also, that's the whole thing with like the ice, where you make take an icicle and you stab somebody and then you let the ice melt.
And then there's no murder weapon?
There's no murder weapon.
I love those like random
Yeah, like there's a locked room and a dead body.
Yeah.
No windows. How did he get in?
How did he die? Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, that's the one.
Totally...
It's the ice because it's the guy who's in the...
Yeah.
There's a guy hanging who hung himself in a window. Or no, hung himself in a room and there's no way in, no way out. The doors are all locked from the inside. How did he die?
Hang himself because
there's
ice
a pool
cube.
Of water. He sat on a block of
he
ice.
Stood on
and
an ice
let,
cube.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jumped off.
Or there's another one.
And the ice melts.
That like firefighters put out an entire forest fire and they find a dead guy in the middle of it who's soaking wet. How did he get there?
Mm.
And it's because
he
got scooped up out of the ocean when the helicopters were scooping up water to dump on the thing.
But isn't that like a real thing that happened? That's not like
I don't think so.
That would be amazing. You're just like,
no, it happened.
Just chaining for my marathon, my triathlon. What the fuck is this big scooping thing?
What's happening?
Hey, would you think you're getting abducted?
That would be amazing. That would totally be, getting abducted by aliens.
Oh my God.
And then they just drop you into a forest fire and you're like, those aliens are dicks. Why? I would have taken the ass probing, but fucking throwing me into a forest fire?
That's insane. Like, I didn't
they
think
learned
about that.
Nothing from me. Such a waste
You'd
of my
like,
specimen.
You'd be like, what the fuck is happening?
That's amazing. These aliens are dicks. Oh, my God.
Alien time.
All right.
All right.
Story?
So this one, okay. I was back and forth on whether we should actually have this conversation or not.
Oh, no.
This is good.
It's a little sad and crazy at the same time.
Okay.
All right. I'm just gonna throw it out there. Just note that it starts sad and then it's a crazy person,
sweet.
But that's okay.
Got it. Good.
Mom pleads guilty, or no? Mom's plea deal includes a resurrection clause.
What?
Oh shit!
So this 22-year-old woman, what? Maryland woman, starved her son to death. But wait for it. She's part of a religious cult called One Mind Ministries.
Oh, God,
and she
that
believes
sounds awful.
That her son was the second coming, and they, like, the group of them starved him, and then he is going to be resurrected.
Wow. All right.
She pled guilty. She pled guilty, but only if there was a clause put in that if her son is resurrected, she goes free.
Oh, that's so weird,
I mean,
man.
But I mean, the fact that was like,
I
and the judge,
I
the judge was like, all right.
Yeah.
I'll call your bluff.
Good for me.
Man.
But isn't that crazy that, like, literally she was like, well, I'll plead guilty, but as long as there's a clause that when my son comes back from the dead, Jesus style, and walks on water, you guys are like, oh, so sorry. You can now leave jail.
Also, Jesus
right.
is back?
Yeah, right.
Wow.
But isn't that crazy? I mean, it's crazy on a lot of levels, and it's sad, obviously very sad, which is why I was sort of on the fence of whether we should talk about it. But I was like, just the mere fact that there's literally a plea bargain in a federal court that says, all right, fine, if your son comes back from the dead.
I mean, I
and by the way, you ready for this?
What?
There's a part of the clause that's very specific. It says, only if he is resurrected, not if he is reincarnated.
Oh, I love it.
Oh my gosh! So not if like
so
I guess you're right. It's not if people
she could be
can
like,
figure out a way to bring him back.
This baby is my son. Totally. No, he always does that with his hands.
No.
Reincarnation. Like,
I'm thinking reanimated.
Yeah.
Like they brought him back.
They're
from
like,
the
look,
dead.
Just send some electricity through that body.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's alive. Let me out.
Man,
isn't that fucked up? That's fucked up.
It's like putting a clause in. Like if I rob your house, you know, and I get arrested for robbing your house because I stole your TV.
Yeah.
And I plead guilty, but. If Alex buys another TV down the line, he's going to replace this one anyways, right?
Yeah.
So
I gotta
he's going to get rid of it. Boom.
Oh,
I
my
just
gosh.
Took it earlier. Let me out of jail.
There's a part of me that kind of wishes that this kid is reincarnated. Just so that she can be like, suck it.
Yeah, I know.
Also, so
I
he
get
wouldn't
it.
Really be dead.
Yeah, that's another.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Cults are scary, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a true statement.
I know.
Oh, man.
All cults are scary.
I know. I just...
Are you texting your cult friend?
No, not at all. No, but I actually recently found out that I have a friend who she grew up in a cult.
What?
Yeah. Now she's been out for
Explain.
Years and years and years, and you would never like. She actually said she's like, I don't tell people this because I'm so.
Yeah,
I'm proud
you don't
of,
want the reaction that I just
well,
had.
But also, she's worked so hard. She's a fantastic human
being. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But she's worked so hard to become that. She wants to. She doesn't want people to like judge her based on the other thing. And if me finding out the info, I was like, my quote unquote judgment of you is that I'm so incredibly impressed.
Yeah, totally.
Like I admire her.
Yeah,
you know. But it is. It's weird. Like, like she was born into it, so she didn't. She didn't really have a
right,
choice.
Yeah.
But then you can even say like anyone who's born into anything doesn't really have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how do you?
Well, that's why it's so, like, I feel like most of the people who, for the most part, whatever religion you're born into, you kind of believe in for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
also political affiliation, you kind of believe for the rest of your life, for the most part. I mean, I know there's, but I'd be interested to see what the statistical percentage of people that go against their natural born-in religion and political affiliation would be.
I actually have I have two very good friends who are, they're both women, they're both Muslim.
Yeah.
And both of their husbands were Christian and converted to Islam for them to get married. Yeah. So like, I'm like, I know it happens, you know?
Yeah.
And they both have great, amazing families and all that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
So, but that is the thing to me that I'm like, oh, I don't, like I was born into a Catholic family. I don't consider myself Catholic anymore, but I do consider myself Christian.
Right.
Really?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I'll go to church on Sundays and things like that.
Man.
But I don't know if I fell in love with someone and they asked me to change my religion, if I'd be able to do it. It's something that I feel like would be
it's a big commitment.
Yeah. Well, I doubt. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, like if Heather was like, hey, I'm, what, you know, Jewish or Muslim or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, would you become that for me? But it's also different because I'm not, I think of myself as...
You don't identify with something, so it might be easier.
Well, I mean, I don't
That's true.
Identify with anything. I'm of the mind that there is something out there.
Yeah.
There is something after we stop existing on this planet. What that is something I'll never know.
Until you stop existing on this planet.
I've always said the way that...
You'll find out.
I've always said that the way that I feel about religion is... We as humans will never know what the next thing is. So at that point, it just becomes a choice of whether there is something or there isn't something. And as an optimistic person, I'd prefer going through life deciding that there will be something than deciding that there won't be something. Yeah. It's just a happier life for me.
I have a hard time thinking that...
And I don't know what that is.
Right. I have a hard time thinking that there's not something else because I can't believe that... Us as a humanity is such a random fucking chance.
Right, yeah.
Like, I believe in all the science about how we evolved and 100%. All that kind of stuff. Like, I don't believe the world is only 6,000 years old or any of that crap.
Right, yeah. Dinosaurs were on the ark.
I definitely, dinosaurs existed when they existed and all that kind of stuff. But it's too much for me to believe that we're a coincidence.
Right, yeah.
Is what it is. That's really why.
What is that? They call that the, was it the divine architect or something? There's like a theory that it's like things are too perfect to be random.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I have a friend who I guess I would consider her spiritual. I honestly don't know if she has a religious affiliation at all. But she's definitely very like in tune and like believes in energies and things like that. That whole thing. And I was telling her this story once that like... It was like one of those things where like by random coincidence I was driving past this thing and this thing reminded me of this person and then I looked out my car window and that person was there and I felt like I had like
weird.
I felt like I had invented them into the situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Secreted them into that into that place.
Yeah.
And I told her that and she's like, you know, I don't really believe in coincidence. I think when things like that happen, things that are quote unquote coincidences, it's the universe's way of saying you're on your right path.
Oh, interesting.
You know, so the more those like random things
and deja vu
happen
too,
and deja vu that kind of stuff or like I was in a coffee shop the other day with a friend and he was like, how was your weekend? I was like, oh, it's good. I was like, I just went to go visit my friend Shekinah because she just had a baby. Mm-hmm. And the girl standing in line in front of me turned around and went, you know Shekinah? Now obviously my friend Shekinah, like that's there's only
a
one person on this
name.
Planet but like the total random is that one of her friends was in line in front of me in front of this like and
when
the,
you
this
so
friend
said it,
was visiting from New York. This girl doesn't live in L.A.
Weird.
Just happened to be in L.A. and happened to be at that coffee shop when I said that thing. So I was like, this is one of those moments where my life is going the right way.
Cool.
Interesting.
You know? Yeah.
I love that.
Right?
I love that that idea that, going in the right direction and all that stuff. Well, I definitely also believe in just positive energy and the power of positive energy.
Totally.
Even if it's just to get you motivated to get off your ass.
Right.
And by you, I mean me. Like, by it gets you one motivated to get off one's ass and do stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I do feel like forward momentum initiates.
Well,
there's like a gravitational
so,
pull of shit. That
it's
comes,
so true.
Good shit. Good shit. Good shit.
They say when you're feeling sad, like literally just physically force yourself to smile.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to still feel sad when you're smiling. It's like literally the muscle connection in your face just does something in your brain that'll make you feel just slightly less sad.
Yeah.
You know, so
I'm
it's that
smile
it's
all
energy.
The time now.
You should.
I'm
you should.
Smiling right now.
Yeah. Oh,
all
wow.
right.
Oh, hey. Oh, hey.
Before we get far too deep, we should wrap it up, huh?
Far too deep.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. If you want to email us at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com. You can tweet us, halfhourhappyhr. Or individual Twitter handles. I'm at Allison Hayslip. He's at Alex Albrecht. You're at Tom Kraftsky, right?
Probably.
Sure.
Probably.
Something like that.
Whatever.
I don't know, actually.
And again, we recorded this episode a week earlier than we normally do. So if the world has ended before...
Crazy science information.
Yeah. If
then you won't
come
hear
out,
this anyway.
We apologize. We can't time travel yet.
Mm. We're working on it. You better believe it.
All right. I'm Allison Hayslip.
I'm Alex Albrecht. Sitting in this week is our guest commentator... Tom Supervolcano Kraevsky, who I think you should come back next week. Let's just see what happens.
Well. Yeah,
might as well.
See what happens.
Yeah.
All right, people. Science.
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 Now leaving Nerdist.com.